Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
said God is love, and don't you dare deny him. I'm your host, the Sheikh Ali Imam Akbar Abdullah Kareem. I'm right here in the beautiful city of Washington, D.C., and we'd like to welcome you to yet another episode of Black Power Radio. And to its uniqueness, it has its own style, and I know that we have our own unique, vast listening and participating audience, and we also are blessed to have the most informative radio talk show on the internet. And of course, some of you come in tonight, and I see there are multiple smartphones in the audience tonight. I take notice of that, and as well, we have noticed the dumb phones that are in the audience. And there are yet a few more have come in via Android phone. And there are many, many more that came in on their paranoid phone. But by whatever means you decided to turn in and tune into Black Power Radio tonight, we're just so happy that you are here. And in the name of the Almighty God, the most beneficent, the most merciful benefactor, the most merciful redeemer, all praise is due to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most high God, the guardian evolver, the cherisher, and the sustainer of all of the worlds, the master of the day of judgment, and master of this universe. And we have now come to the point. We had a showdown with the opposition, but right in the midst of all of this, almighty, in the midst of all of this, we have the NAACP and the current state of Black America, with the three Ks, part two. So those of you who missed out on last night's episode of Black Power Radio, you can actually go back, track down the link, and play it back for you, your friends, and your network. But these are the pertinent cross-examination questions today. And in moving forward, what is the most positive influence in our midst, meaning in the Black community? What is the most powerful influence? That's the pertinent cross-examination question tonight. At this hour, what is the most positive influence in your life? And what are your recommendations on gaining our very best utility from it and moving forward for the rest of we the people? Because we the people are in dire need and dire straits for having some positivity and bringing in something that is going to make a difference in the lives of we the people. So without any further ado, without prolonging you and getting you stuck on Sheikh Ali Imam Akbar stuff, we got some people who can explain this thing show enough. And we're going to break it down syllable by syllable tonight. And we have our coast, our West Coast host. Does that come into rhyme? Are you a poet and you know it, you make it rhyme every time? We have our West Coast host. And she is Dr. Critical Truth Bay, who is right there in the beautiful city of Los Angeles, California. And she's come up with some of these topics as of late. And they're brilliant topics and they're timely topics because there has to be a completed explanation on the NAACP and its real relationship with Black people at this hour. So without any further ado, we're going to bring her to the airwaves as we introduce a couple of more hosts. Dr. Critical Truth Bay, what say ye on the NAACP and the current state of Black America? Welcome to the airwaves. Power to the people and Black
power, Black power, Black power. All right. Thank you, Sheikh Imam Akbar, National Chairman. Well, Black family, we have discussed the NAACP at length on yesterday's broadcast. So if you missed it, please tune in and follow up. We broke down the key players such as W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington and their parts in creating one of the most recognized institutions, organizations to protect colored folk. Now, what we have determined, just to keep you up to speed, is the NAACP current state of what they started out to be. And we had a guest, Sister Patricia Divine Muhammad, who's actually a member as well, tell us inside exactly the history of what the NAACP was really about. And as we got to the conclusion, it is what it says in the title. It's the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. And yet, there have been many issues back in the past. Brown versus the Board of Education, Plessy and Ferguson, separate but equal. Birth of a Nation actually was a controversy that in the very beginning, the NAACP's inception in exposing issues concerning Black America. But again, the title, Colored People, is what we want to emphasize today. Now, I want to hear from you, Sheikh Imam Akbar, in your opinion. The National Advancement Association for the Advancement of Colored People, does it, in your opinion, represent Black issues today?
Well, when you use colored people, it's certainly symbolic of something has been done to you. And as most of my mentors have taught me, that someone is just like having a coloring book, and someone just colors it all up, colors of their choice, and the labels and language and all of the things included, use the things of their choice as opposed to you making your own choice. And I think that's where people have come to the table, that someone has colored us in with the colors and the language and labels of their choice. And now we have freedom of choice and freedom of speech. We're breaking some of the cycle, and freedom of the press has opened other avenues of justice for us. And then, of course, you out here opening doors of justice, and then eye-opening proof. That's what you need. So I'm going to ask this guy here, Bill. He knows a lot about this thing. So I'm going to ask the chief of staff, what do you think, as we just give the round robin for some of these hosts tonight, and we've got a full switchboard and we're rolling. So we're going to have to hit it quickly, Brother Israel, and then we'll get to the next host and then let Dr. Truth Bay complete her concept, because she has an excellent thesis. She's a writer, a talker, a tech person, a justice person. And there are 10 more labels, and I don't even have time to run down the list. But she's an awesome. She's that awesome Black lady straight out of L.A., Compton, and the Inglewood, and where, anywhere else on 196,940,000 square miles. Welcome, Brother Israel, our National Chief of Staff. What say ye in your opening? Give me a short statement on the NAACP and the current state of Black America. Sir. Black power.
Freedom of death, Black unity, Black strength, Black honor, Black sovereignty, and at this time, Black supremacy, most definitely not ashamed or afraid to say it. It's that time. Let's cut the shit. Looking back at the history of the NAACP, even from its inception, looking at nothing purely but the history, the NAACP as the sister pointed out last evening, was pure deflection. And that's the current state of things anytime an organization is asked to be transparent or take responsibility for wrongdoing. She wanted to make the statement that the NAACP was the advancement for colored people. Now, let's examine colored people. Taiwanese, Koreans, all of them are colored people. Mexicans are colored people. Africans or African Americans are colored people. But when you focus on the history of what she was trying to state last evening, the only issues that they have ever in their history from the start and the inception, they have only concentrated on Black issues. When the Japanese were in internment camps, the NAACP didn't step up, nor did they even ask. When Mexicans had their issues in the 70s and the 60s, they never stepped up or even asked to be a part of these movements. The only movements they have ever been involved with or requested to be a part of were black and black only issues. I have never seen them speak or attempt to speak for the Japanese. I have not seen them ever attempt to speak for any other of the Asian community, nor the brown community. The only community that we have seen the NAACP hold any interest whatsoever was the black community.
Let's be clear about it.
You can check the history of it. So tell me I'm lying. I mean, it was only a deflection because she did not want to come to terms that the NAACP was a weapon of counterintelligence against the black movement and black self-determination. It was used to spy on black people. It was used to neutralize the black man and black woman from being self-determining, self-sufficient, and self-reliant, and most of all, revolutionary. And with that, I just gave my brief synopsis, but hey, you know, we could get much more deeper. If you want to come on into the rabbit hole with me, I'll be glad to take you there. But with that, I land in Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. Thank you, Brother Chief of Staff. Out on the west side of the Washington metropolitan area, we do have our National Minister of Defense. He's right out there in the middle of all of this. And I know he has something to say on what is the current state of Black America and its relationship with the NAACP. Comrade, National Minister of Defense, Black Lightning, Black Power, and a strong black military to block this call. Thank you.
Black Power time. Yes, sir,
black
National
power.
Chairman. Salute, comrade.
Salute. Respect.
Nice, Black Power. Black Power. Wow. Where can I start? For one, in 1905, when the two things happened. See, and I knew that. I mean, I didn't know, but I had a hunch because I had been studying up on the other thing that happened down there in Niagara Falls, exact same time frame, 1905. J.P. Morgan and Rockefeller, the Rothschilds, and all them boys was hanging out where? My, oh, my. They were hanging out at a spot in Niagara Falls. You dig that? And guess who else was down 1905 in Niagara Falls? The Niagara Foundation with W.E.B. Du Bois, or Du Bois. You can say Du Bois, but I don't want to get my people lost. We're talking about W.E.B. Du Bois. And like you say, it's always been a play on words, you know. And now I get it. I never got it until yesterday. That lady put it on point. I'm like, yes. I'm like, man, good thing I was muted. I was cheering like I was at the Super Bowl, and she was putting it down. For one, if 1905, okay, let's stick with 1905. 1905, you got Rockefeller, and you got all, and you got was it J.P. Morgan and the Carnegie Foundation. So the Carnegie Foundation was founded in 1905. Exact same time frame as the Niagara Foundation. Now, ain't that a coincidence? I don't think it's a coincidence. I say our people, you say we got W.E.B. Du Bois and 29 others, and they've already come up with a foundation to help our people. And here it is, these Jews over here. Let's just call it like it is. The one with the money. Ain't got these Jews, but the powers that had the money. So they got the cash, and we need the help. So it sounds like some handshaking got done, you know.
But it's still like a flim-flam man move, you know, because like when they had Black Lives Matter, we thinking, man, that's the LGBT thing. You know, I knew that right off the bat just from looking at it, you know. I was like, wait a minute, they trying to sidetrack the movement. And that's what I think that was, sidetracking the movement. It was sidetracked, let's not think. It was sidetracking the movement. 1905, Carnegie Foundation with all the rich Jews and white men, and then the Niagara Foundation with us trying to help our people. So what I'm trying to say is it got sidetracked again. So we are the only ones that I see that are not sidetracking the movement. We are the movement. That's it. We are the movement, and other people try to sidetrack us sometimes, and we got to stay on their heels. And now I see the play on words. It ain't never been about us. It's all been about the money. And just like the bishop said, the money goes to the Jews, so or to the banks, whoever, you know, the Rothschilds, J.P. Morgan Foundation, all them different foundations. They still rolling, you know. So I just wanted to point that out. Y'all can do your own research. Right. 1905, and put it together. And, oh, let's put this together, too, while we're at it. the Black Power wheels to the pavement and to get to where you are. And we need put little drops, more than a drop now, because they, you know, they dropping it down on the gas. So hit us up on $77 Bakers, so we can hit some mean green in the black machine. And don't forget, Carnegie Foundation probably funded some of this. Therefore, it all tills back to them. So we need something that tills only to us, Black Power. Oh, I didn't introduce myself. This is Black Lightning, your revolutionary voice of the people, Black Power, and National Minister
Black of Power. Black Power. And you hit a few bell ringers there and may have trickled a few nerves in the mentioning of the Rothschilds and the Carnegie and the Rockefellers and all of these various ones. One guy got in trouble over here talking about this. He was talking about the Rothschilds controlling the weather. Maybe he controls too much of we the people, and they may have too much influence in the NAACP and National Association for the Advancement of Colored Peoples and Colored Fools. And anyone that's going to that label today has got to have a screw loose in multiple brain cells, or either suffering a tumor on the major medulla oblongata and the cerebellum, and have some shortages in all ends of the circulatory and respiratory system. As I move on and give kudos to our beloved sister Patricia Divine Muhammad for filling us in, kudos again. She's stuck in a storm out in Mississippi, so we hope we'll make the prayers for her. This is George Muhammad Doza out in Oklahoma areas and Mississippi, Louisiana, different parts of Georgia. All that South Belt is catching a storm, hurricanes, and tornadoes are ripping it up. Lots of rain, lots of flooding. So make the dua, the prayers for them as you go black. Let me see. I have one more. I don't know if this 917. 917, you're live. I need to check. Who's on 917-341? Abdullah. He's an assistant to the assistant. Thank you, Abdullah.
I am the national assistant.
Okay.
Black Power, y'all.
Black Power.
You're national assistant MOB. You're national assistant air marshal. How's everything out there?
Fine, sir.
Black Power, everybody out there, all formers.
Black Power.
Yes, sir.
Brother Abdullah, what's the real relationship with the NAACP, the current state of the NAACP, and what is the best thing that you know of, the best utility for us, the best influence among us, the best positive spin you can give us, and then how we get the utility and yield from it, and explain to me what is the real relationship with the NAACP and the current state of Black America, sir.
All right. NAACP is too connected with the Ashkenazis, the so-called Jews. Their finance. That's how they get so big. Like Black Lives Matter also, like the brother said earlier. They are big because they're financed by a passion. And when you're financed by them, you owe them. See, we don't have to be financed. We can do it on our own. We're a nonprofit organization, and we are the best one to do it. The less people, less finance, we can do on our own. We are the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. We don't need to be financed by anybody. We can do it on our own and prove we are the one who can do it. We are the vanguard of the revolution. But the NAACP always been financed, even when it had the Niagara movement. So Black Power and that shit. Black Power.
Black Power.
You're behind me or what?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Power to the people.
What's up, I say to you, man?
Well, as we bring it right back live.
And thank you,
Brother Abdullah, for sharing with us here on Black Power Radio.
Yeah.
He's in all the barrels in the Queens of Brooklyn. He's in Harlem, and he's in all parts of Long Island, Short Island, all parts of New York, all barrels, Brother Abdullah, for the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. As we switch our mics back to or black to the west side and talk to Dr. Critical Truth Bay, who will conduct most of the rest of the program tonight on the NAACP. Brother Maurice is coming right behind Dr. Truth Bay, Black Power.
Fuck that shit.
Let me see. She there?
Bullet check.
Dr. Critical Truth. Let me see. Is that in there? Let me see.
Critical Truth Bay.
Okay, she's right there. All right. Black Power.
Get the line, bro.
Right on time on the west side of Los Angeles. Power to the people.
Black Power. Power to the people.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power. Abdullah, give you a salute. Black Power.
Okay. Get a little excited in New York there. Okay, brothers, we hear that. So as we continue from NAACP, do we have our comrades that brilliantly stated their opinion, and I believe our chief of staff summed it up. NAACP covers for colored people but not black. So here's the problem, Black family. If that is the case, and that is to be true, that when you look at the definition of the NAACP, which actually formed in 1909, its purpose was to advance black people. Now, that is what the definition states. When you look it up, you can Google it, that it states that's what it was there for. But as we see, it's not really for blacks, it's for colored. Now, let's focus on today's NAACP, where we hear about the recent uproar in San Francisco and Brother Reverend Amos Brown. Now, the NAACP in San Francisco was in hot water because at the Board of Supervisors a couple of weeks ago, they stated that, led by Reverend Amos Brown, who's the president, stated that, and also the pastor of Third Street Baptist, stated that he opposes cash payments of $5 million for every San Franciscan. But as he was interviewed on Roland Martin, he was actually doubling back on what he was saying, stating it is not about the cash payments they were delaying or denying. It was the fact that they didn't have a plan of action behind it. Now, if that is to be true, Black family, then what was the purpose of the NAACP if they're not focusing on betterment education, betterment justice system, betterment institution, neighborhoods overall? So if their job is to help the advancement of colored people, which includes blacks, and they are requesting a plan of action before this $5 million is disseminated. Isn't that the whole purpose of what the NAACP is supposed to be doing? So this is why we want Reverend Amos Brown, who we respect dearly in his tenure of almost five decades in the Baptist Church, to clarify exactly what plan of action are they putting forth to assist San Francisco in completing this task. So I'm going to leave it right there. Now, the second portion I want us to look at, Black family, is the Image Awards. Now, if you have watched the Image Awards, it started in 1967, and it's an annual award ceremony presented under the NAACP to honor outstanding performances in film, television, theater, music, and literature. Now, similar to the award, to the Oscars and the Grammys, they have over 40 categories that they vote and give awards to organization members, particularly NAACP members who are in these fields. So when you see Black Hollywood, when you see Black Literary or Black Theater, and they're members of the NAACP already, which I believe the membership is in the tunes of $299 or something like that a year. But correct me if I'm wrong, if there is a member out there, what are the membership requirements? So every year they have this award to honor these prolific people in these categories. Now, what we're going to focus on, Black family, is a certain portion in the NAACP Image Awards that focuses on the President's Award. Now, the President's Award specifically is given out to those who have been influential and who have acquired special achievement in public service. Now, this is very important because for the real activists out there, for the real revolutionary boots-on-the-ground warriors out there, this is where our lane that they have crossed when it comes to the Image Awards. Now, in the past, if we look since 1987, the very first award that they've given was Ella Fitzgerald. And so, as you know, she was a prolific singer, entertainer, and so well-deserved. So now when we go down some of the awards in the past, very notable, you must recognize some of them as well. They honored Bill Clinton in 2001. In 2004, T.D. Jakes. 2011, General Colin Powell. Then you have a couple of actors and directors in 2015, Spike Lee. Then in 2018, Danny Glover. 2020, Rihanna. 2021, LeBron James. 2022, Prince Harry and Meghan. And now we come up to 2023, Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade. Now, again, Black family, we're not talking about film, entertainment, music, or television. This is the President's Award, where they give honor to activists in public service. And Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade, they felt, was the one. Now, the NAACP of Hollywood, Derek Johnson, is the current president of the Hollywood chapter for the NAACP. And so while they focus on what they say in entertainment, when it comes to public service, we must have real revolutionaries honored. But then again, that's our opinion, and they do what they do. But what we are going to break down, Black family, and I want you to listen intently, because we are going to break down the actual speech that this year's honoree, which was in February 25th, 2023, the 54th Annual Image Awards was played. And we're going to break down the speech of Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade. Now, I want you to hear very carefully as we have cleared the fact that NAACP stands for Representation of Colored People. But our chief of staff have mentioned already, Brother Azriel, that that's just a distraction. That if they are really for colored people, then we should not have them in pressing Black issues over the years, causing mass confusion, black family, because they are issuing for black justice, so they say. May not do it very well, but that's what they do. So we want to clarify today, what precisely does that mean in the public eye? When we talk about the young people and in Hollywood, these are the very important locations in where mass mentality, mass information is disseminated. Many, many flock to Hollywood to become that next it actor or entertainer or star. And so when they're using these platforms to portray the black struggle, and they know on the outskirts they're not, that is where we have a problem. So let's listen in, black family, just to some of the important sound bites of this prolific speech given by Dwayne Wade and his witch, Gabrielle Union.
Thank you, guys. We don't stand up here alone. As we know, it takes a village. We stand up here today as two people who have worked tirelessly to have resources and access. As two people willing to use our microphones for what we believe and what other families are going through. I'm intentional when I use my platform. I recognize what I've been given, and it is my job to uplift the voices of others and share my access and resources. I want to take this moment to publicly speak to our daughter, Zaya. Zaya, as your father, all I've wanted to do was get it right.
Okay, now, it sounds pretty straightforward, doesn't it, black family? But I want you to continue to listen as some of the words of what their real intent for accepting this award is.
Sit back and watch how gracefully you've taken public scrutiny. I admire how you've handled the ignorance in our world. As your father, my job isn't to direct your future. As your father, my job isn't to direct your future.
Now, we have to play that song. Did you hear that, black family? Now, I need my black man to chime in on this one. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this black man, Dwayne Wade, stood up in front of a national platform, international, excuse me, and stated that his role as a black father is not to direct their children's path. If you didn't hear it, let's hear it again.
As your father, my job isn't to direct your future. As your father, my job isn't to direct your future. My role is to be a facilitator to your hopes, your wishes, your dreams. So, baby, thank you.
So a black father's role is to facilitate the wishes and hopes and dreams of their children. So you mean to tell me if your child wants to become a unicorn tomorrow, that you're going to have to facilitate some unicorn resources to make them achieve that dream? Correct me if I'm wrong, black family, but national chairman, is the role of a black father not to direct their black children?
Well, that is absolutely the job. Absolutely. The job is to direct, to guide and to direct. He is the conscious, the maintainer, the provider, and the overseer, if you will. He's the straw boss of the future of our children. And this is specifically one of the reasons why our children are so far astray, whether it's a little Willow, Weeping Willow, or a little Dade Wade, a little Swade, Swan or Sean. They'll play on your words and your mind. You have to learn the language and then see, it's a dialect. What is it called? Is it Heliganian? Heliganian? Dialectical. It's a dialectical movement. It's terrible what they've done to us. It's all nightmares. I can come back later. I'm going to try to give Maurice a look. Man, at least a shot at this thing, because Maurice is waiting in the wings. And I know he needs to rush to the mic. We got Maurice out there on 336 at 583. And I know he can drop it like it's hot on this subject here. The NAACP.
We want to know the roles of the black father
from Dwayne
right now.
Absolutely. Come on to the mic, brother Maurice. Black power.
Black power, black power, black power.
Black power.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Black power. The role of a black, the role of a black father is to guide the child's future, is to guide them.
That's right.
What he said was just totally wrong. And my thought for the NAACP is that they just an organization full of personal agendas. You know, the people that they choosing for these awards are donating to the organization, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beyond that lines. Like I said, even here we got an NAACP chapter. A brother was injured unjustly by law enforcement. And what have the NAACP did? What have they said about the situation? Did they go to the police department and ask questions? So, really, they show you what they're about. Because a situation like that, if they was for our people, they were supposed to stand up in that situation knowing that this man was doing nothing wrong, clearly
right.
doing the humane thing that a human would do when two people are fighting, which is break up the fight. And they would have saw that and said, oh, no, we can't have this. But no, what did they do? Nothing. They said nothing. They did
Ghost.
Nothing. So that right there explains it all. Black power. In
Black
the words,
power.
In the
Black
words,
power. Black power.
In the words of Reggie, in the words of Reggie Romaine, I yield back.
I yield
Black
back,
power.
Right
Black
on.
Power. And that's spread out of Rockville, North Carolina. Our regional field marshal, and he doesn't think much of the way the NAACP has managed the case of John Carrington right there in North Carolina. And this is really the first hit that the Panther, the known hit that a major staff of the Black Panther Party has been hit or dealt with, a shot or maimed, killed, injured, malice put upon him, malicious wounding, and the 9 yards has happened to our state chairman of North Carolina. As Brother Maurice is representing very well, as our national chief of staff is representing very well, and I have gone into North Carolina twice since this happened, and we're going to check the Beer Belly Sheriff and the No Good Police Chief on this issue. We're going to see the film, and then we're going to check them in the midst of their iniquity. We'll take some legal action against this action, and we'll be at the trial, and we're telling you now, you've got to go against these tyrants, the tyrants of the hour for Black Power. Is there anybody else want to chime in? I want you to restate your question. A few more Black Power. There's a few more
Black
in the vast listening audience that would probably
Black
like
power.
To chime in. So, Dr. Critical Truth, I want you to take it back to the top and restate your question and get some of our hosts and others to chime in as your choice. Black Power.
Black power. And so, as we just heard, this disturbing portion, and it's not all Black family, we got a couple more minutes we're going to break down. But one of the most important things, as they stated in the beginning, they know they have an important platform. Hollywood, sports stars such as LeBron James, they know their platform garnishes millions upon millions of young Black impressionable minds. And so when they accept awards that they know have not really focused on Black issues or solved any Black struggles, that their speeches, with it sounds revolutionary with the tone and the gestures and all, but in actuality, for him to say as a Black man, my role is not to direct you, is the exact reason, Black family, that we have to double down on how we raise our children and not allow these entertainers to be our children's teachers. We have to firmly plant a mentality to our youth that they know strongly, as Khalid Muhammad would say, a strong sense of self. So let's continue as we listen in and break down the speech of Dwayne Reed and his woman, Gabrielle Union, the 64th NAACP Image Award. Wrong button. My bad.
I'm proud that I was chosen to stand in place as your father. And thank you so much to the NAACP for this incredible honor.
Thank you, Derek, and the NAACP. It's humbling to stand here, all working to advance the lives of Black people and pay respect to an organization that has led us through over a century of relentless challenge.
All right, Black family, we're going to hold it right there now. Now, his queen witch just stepped up to the mic, and we already know her agenda in Hollywood. Now, we have clarified that the NAACP is there for colored people, but we're going to just make you hear this portion one more time. Did she say colored people?
All working to advance the lives of Black people and pay respect to an organization that has led us through over a century of relentless challenge, pain, triumph, and change. And now stands with us again at the foot of a very new era of activism. A new era that demands our collective answer to one simple question. Will we fight for some, or will we fight for all of our people?
Woo! That sounds powerful, Black people, huh?
Let's just name a couple hard truths.
Go on now.
First, the intersection of Black rights and the rights of the LGBTQIA, trans, and gender nonconforming people continues to be rough.
Well, there you go, Black family. There is the key right there. She didn't say Black people. No, she said intersectionality of Black and trans and LG and all, you know, the rainbow. Okay? So that's what I want you to really focus on. When they are portraying Black issues, does that really include everybody? Let's continue.
Even as we demand equality at the top of our lungs, we consistently fail to extend our advocacy to protect some of our most vulnerable among us.
And who do you think the most vulnerable is? Is it the Black women? Is it the Black children? Is it our Black seniors?
And second, Black trans people are being targeted, terrorized, and hunted in this country every day, everywhere, and there's rarely a whisper about it. This is a conversation worth having in ways that can actually build bridges, right? That don't fan the flames of hatred or division. They don't enable lawmakers or justice systems to look the other way when Black trans people are under attack.
Oh, there now. Now back to the round robin. Now, can you tell me how many reports, Black family, that you have heard concerning the mistreatment and the hunting and killing of Black trans? I know I've heard Black men and women in general that are daily hunted and sought out and killed and beat up and abused. But I don't think Gabrielle Union has a clue that's happening right now. Somebody help me now.
Yeah, see, because the from my extensive experience in the matters of the killing, and I focus on law enforcement, but there's lots of things going on. But I don't remember going over the years. Now, it's been one lately, but I'm going to go ahead and do a drive-by and say that for the most part, it has been the heterosexual community that has been killed by law enforcement is what the uproar is really all about. There's not been a police killing of known LGBTs that's causing us to talk about the issues concerning the racial divide and us being disproportionately killed by early instant death syndrome coming from law enforcement, by vehicular homicide coming to the Black community from law for paid law enforcement with our tax dollars. So they could have represented that issue much better at the level of the NAACP, at the level of famous entertainers and sports figures and others that get to come to these awards and speak. So when something does come out, as I've said over the years, they always seem to give the wrong nigga the microphone. But I ain't going to get mad at you. I'm going to pass the mic up in here and see what Brother Reggie has to say. on this particular subject, power and power to the people, Brother Regis, out there on that west side. On that west side, black power.
Black power.
Black power. Black power.
Power.
Brother Regis still in there? Black power.
Yes, sir. My phone started breaking. Hello, hello. I yield up. Forward. Okay, hey, much love to y'all, man. Appreciate y'all.
You may get a little break in it, but we can hear you.
Yeah, I know my phone messing up right now, but look at here, man. I love y'all, though, man. I love all y'all. And I yield forward, homie. I'm glad you paid homage to my speak. But look at here. I want to give homage to these women, though. Y'all got to understand, through the crack years, you know what I'm saying? And every time we was locked up, killed, these women right here that's speaking, nigga, step back. Nigga, they are folks. You know what I'm saying? They got strongness. They pulling us up by our bootstraps, letting us know we got boots. You know what I mean? So listen to these strong women, y'all. You know what I'm saying? So that's our future because we've been behind. When we 34 years old, we were still thinking like we were 17, 18. But they got us. They was raising our kids, going to college and working two jobs at the same time. But at that point, look here, NAACP, let's crack this. I got an award in 2011. My brother died 2 months before. When I found out what NAACP was for, they said I won it over Asians and Mexicans and everything. I said, oh, this ain't no black award. I said, okay, well, I hung it up anyway, just in respect of my brother. But the knowledge from y'all, I'm slapping that thing. Well, it's down because I remodeled, and I will not hang it up. You feel me? So I'm glad y'all giving that information. Another thing, though, on this oneness, this unity, y'all listen here and listen loudly. 1619 Reparations Party is coming right at your city. We start here in
That's
California
right.
with this AB 31 Reparations. You know what I mean? June 30th, get the signature from this trick. You know what I'm saying? I bust him up. I sent him emails talking about you like a slave master to me. You even not even paying the panel, you know what I'm saying? So, look, I'm going to take this to the other space, tell them we ain't going for the banana and the tailpipe. But look here, y'all going to see my face. If y'all do anything else, look at what came out yesterday. Look up on YouTube, Politics and Blacks, capitalized the B. We're talking about reparations. We're talking about politics. We got to get into these white folks' pockets. They don't give a damn about our money, but they give a damn about our votes. Hold your vote. Don't get a Democrat or Republican state thing because they ain't gave us another 160 years. Look at the tape. This girl, True Bay, was right next to me. We are living through history. The reparations never came this far. Don't lose hope. Many is called, few is chosen. If you ain't with this movement, step back. We accepting all black folk. I don't care where you come from, Muslim, Christian, Crip, Blood, or whatever you, whatever the difference. When you come in the door when we talk, agape. 1619, that's where we from. And we hug everybody. So y'all put everything at the door, drop your hat, and let's get it in. Because we got to crack these pink face.
Try.
I yield back.
Black power, brother.
Black power.
Black power. I'd like to make it a quick address in answering what Gabrielle Union stated. She stated how the rainbow people, is what I call them, how they are being targeted, killed. That is not the case. I mean, because I just out of personal curiosity wanted to look into it myself. It's not the fact that they are targeted for their sexuality, at least not here in the States. Now, if this were Africa, you know, I could co-sign that. You know what I'm saying? But as far as here in the States, that's not the case. The LGBTQ cases that you see are those cases where the individual has not been forthright with who they are. For example, when a man gets with what he thinks is a woman and turns out to be another man, those are the cases where it gets violent and where it ends grieving with somebody. Those are the times when when men in skirts and wigs sit here and a lot of people having them thinking they're a whole female and they turn out to be a man. Men ain't going to play that. Those are the ones that it ends violently for. So let's be honest about it. Again, I can understand where she was coming from when it comes to countries like Africa. Africa, Jamaica, the Caribbean, they don't play with the LGBTQ community at all. And that's their right. That's their policies. Only in these countries do they have to worry about that. But as far as the states go, people in the states don't care about sexuality or they don't want to hate on you or cause you harm just because you come out of the closet. So that is a myth.
Exactly.
And I don't know about how anybody else feels. And if I was not married and I came across somebody who I thought was a woman and they turned out to be a man, it would end badly for them too. You feel me? So that's what I just want that to be cleared up. Again, we do not care about your sexuality because at the end of the day, you are still black. And for her to come out and say that they are targeted here, that's absolutely false.
That's right.
And with that, I yield. Black power.
Black power. Can I say something real quick?
Black power.
That's
black
right.
Power.
Go on.
All right. At the end of the day, we will stand up to protect the LGBT community. They are black,
that's right,
too. We are black,
that's
revolutionaries.
Right.
That's what we do. We protect our race. So it doesn't matter what sexuality or not, we will stand up to protect our people at any cost. It doesn't matter what sexuality it is. So for them to say that they're being targeted, when we are standing behind our people no matter what, is bogus, because we'll step on a case like that too. You're not going to target somebody because of their sexuality.
That's right. That's right. Roy
Black power.
Said. Black power, black power. And we do not promote or condone violence of any kind. Just to make clear, we are a party for self-defense, meaning you attacked us, it's a wrap. But we're not going to go seeking you. And definitely, thank you, comrades, for clarifying that. Your sexuality means absolutely nothing. It is who you are as a character. And if you are attacked, just the same, we'll come, cover you, protect you, and advocate for you just like anything else. All right.
Black power.
Now, we can't say too much about the other way around for Hollywood to embrace black issues now. Now, as we're going on in the entail of this very important speech given by Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade in honor of the NAACP Image Awards. So let's listen in into the last tail end of Gabrielle's powerful revolutionary speech.
Right? They don't fan the flames of hatred or division. They don't enable lawmakers or justice systems to look the other way when black trans people are under attack.
Now, if you look back, black family, at this particular portion of the speech, they cut away to none other than Congresswoman Maxine Waters. That's why I say, black family, we have to expose the real agenda when it comes to how the NAACP is representing black issues. This is not an entertainment award. It is not the Oscars or the Grammys. We're talking about the presidential award given to public service in activism, in law, in policy. And the fact that they cut away to Maxine Waters, we already know here, I can speak for myself, because that's her jurisdiction that I actually live under, District 43. And just not too long ago last year, our Auntie Maxine, in front of almost 1,000 homeless black families, she stood in front of them and told them there is no more help for them that they need to go home. That's right, black family, that homeless people need to go home. That's what our congresswoman did. You don't remember? Here we go. That was Auntie Maxine telling us there's nobody in Washington, including the whole black congressional caucus, that's working in Washington harder for black folks than she was. That was a politician in blackface. So let's continue on with the round end of Gabrielle Union's speech.
I have more young people to hate themselves or harm themselves. They don't cost people their lives. So we are humbled and we are hopeful. We are hopeful that we may witness a real shift in the fight for justice. The moment, the movement makes room for everyone. Everyone. Thank you.
All right. So if you want to watch the whole entire speech, you can Google it, YouTube it. It's about 6 minutes long. So we only played for you the highlights of what the NAACP Image Award is portraying. And that goes back to what we were saying in the very beginning. Now, San Francisco's NAACP, for what their actions were, we would not have particularly broken down and brought this organization to light as we are this week. But we feel that clarification and misinformation that is constantly given to the people by this reputable organization need to stop. So we're asking those who are leaders or chapters in any NAACP nationwide that the jig is up. Yes, the jig is up. We need you to come with a plan of action, because as our Amos Brown stated, that he's not against reparations. He's against the fact that they don't have a plan.
President of the NAACP chapter there, also a member of the San Francisco Reparations Task Force, Reverend Dr. Amos Brown. Not glad to have you on the show. So first, Pastor Brown, you have been a longtime supporter of reparations, correct?
Yes, I have. And also I'm a vice chair of the state reparations task force.
So you're a member of the San Francisco Task Force Committee and the vice chair of the state committee that's been examining this as well. A lot of people have been blasting you and the chapter for this particular statement, saying how dare you oppose the money going direct as opposed to the five areas that y'all outlined. Why has the chapter taken the position to oppose the committee's recommendation of direct payment as opposed to the five areas y'all laid out?
Let me give you some clarification and do some truth and branch.
Okay, first of all, Pastor Brown, hold on. You broke up there, so start your comment over again. Go ahead.
It's not against tax payments at all. But we are against being put in a trick bag and set up a failure. And those members of the Board of Supervisors gave lip service to the concept, the idea of reparations. But beginning with the chair, he's the one who said, no cash, and the chairperson of the Finance Committee, an Asian lady, Ms. Chan, said, we have a deficit in the city. We get out of this. The point, brother, I'm making is that we must not let our adversaries, whoever they may be, set us up for another study, another to be put on a shelf and to collect dust. We must have action and action now. We believe in cash plus.
All right. There you go. So in short, Reverend Amos Brown from the San Francisco NAACP chapter wanted to clear the misheadlines, as he stated, that they reported incorrect. We're not against cash payments, as you just heard him. He's against a lack of planning, and he's all for cash plus. So this is the statement of where we, the people, black folks nationwide, want every chapter at NAACP to do, is to hold a town meeting, and they have them quite frequently, and to have a whole a town meeting with the locals specifically on a plan of action when it comes to not only reparations, but land acquisition, education, and the monies that they want to put in the community. They should be having the plan for us. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to say it again. The NAACP needs to have a plan written for the people, not the other way around. So in 1909, when they started, it was because of the issues that they seen. They want to have a streamlined solution to do that. And that's how they came together. And these were not poor slaves. Ex-slave men. These were so-called well-to-do individuals in their own right. Many of them owned land. They were well-educated. They had prominent jobs, whether they be a lawyer or a business owner. And they came together because they were tired of the treatment, especially the racism that held in Springfield, Illinois, that prompted them to come together in the first place. So when we are utilizing the black vote, and this is how they continued to peddle the propaganda that, yeah, we're here for black issues. As you just heard live and direct, Black Family, in 2023, less than a month ago, they are telling the world through an actress that we are here for black issues, and then turn around and say it is the trans community that's being hunted and killed. Therefore, telling on themselves right then and there. But are we listening, Black Family? Are we really listening to what they're saying to us live and direct? So when we know this type of information, our job now, Black Family, is to request our local NAACP chapter to draft a plan that is current, not only to support the reparations, and we're going to hold our beloved Reverend Amos Brown with a very reputable reputation in the Baptist community era to have a plan drafted before June 30th. That's particularly for San Francisco. And that's the same request that we're asking for the North Carolina chapter. We want them to support police, to advance or expose police brutality, as it happened to our comrade, beloved John Carrington, who currently should be having the NAACP chapter behind him 100%. We don't need any more speeches. We don't need any more thoughts and wishes. We don't need the millions of dollars, and this is a budget of $100 million, Black Family, that these Image Awards utilizes, just like the Oscars and the Grammys, to produce the Image Awards that they do every year. That if they're going to honor real activists, that we can suggest for the next year's awards, that you honestly honor the people that we choose for honoring, not the other way around. That's the least they can do with what they have. And so what our portion, our plan of action is not to fall asleep, Black family. We cannot remain silent and complicit when we have media that is portraying a reputable, well-known organization to continue to pretend that it's advocating for Black issues. We must correct that particular message, however it may be, to state we want you, NAACP, to represent NAABP. That's the National Association of Amendments for Black People. And for that segment,
we need a shotgun blast too to go with that. But definitely, see, we got your horn back on. Yeah, you get a blast for that one. Okay, we have been well received tonight, and we've received the points from the West Side. Let's go into our vast listening audience and see what say ye at 253-953-951, 253-951. You are live on Black Power Radio. Black Power. 253-253-1. Yeah. Delayed.
Better late than
the slow trade is the short trade. I'm going to tell you now. At 253-953-951, you're live. I'm trying to see if you're there with us.
253-951.
Are you 253-951?
We are on.
Go ahead. You can talk Black to us as well. Welcome to Black Power Radio.
Thank you.
You're live.
Welcome, Black Power.
Appreciate it.
Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, and talk Black to us. Yeah.
I am Tremaine Palms. I'm in Seattle, Washington.
All right. We got Tremaine Palms.
And we've been a long time no hear from the Seattle. We got Chapter there in Seattle, and we haven't kindled the spirit in quite a while. The music you hear on the onset, you hear music by Seattle, Washington. The videos on much of this Black Revolution were made in Seattle, Washington. So we're happy to have you. This is Tremaine.
This is Tremaine Palms. Yes, it is.
Black Power.
All right,
go
to Tremaine.
Black to tell us a little bit of your take on the NAACP, current state, history, et cetera, and you can set your groove. Black Power.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Black Power to each and every one of you on the call tonight.
Black Power, you're quite welcome.
I used to be the former chairman of the NAACP for the religious affairs. And
what? Hold on for 1 second. Let's rewind that. We got inside information. Let's go, brother. Black Power.
Yes, and what I discovered was the NAACP in the chapter that I was with that you all probably are well aware of, Dr. Carl Mack, James Bible, just to name a few in that chapter. But what I discovered was there was no really advancement of our people. There was no really levels of accountability with respect to those that were within the chapter. And so there was a lot of issues that were going on internally that weren't necessarily addressing the needs of the people in the community. And that's a huge issue. While I was on the board myself, I'm a licensed and ordained minister, pastor for several years in the community. And I worked as a longshoreman. And while working as a longshoreman, I discovered that all throughout, up and down the coast, that many of our Black longshoremen are being ostracized from benefits related to injuries on the job, deserving retirement benefits, denied all of these benefits while being injured on the job. And I speak behalf on every individual who's been done unfairly and unjustly in that industry. And I just wanted to share that tonight. Y'all are doing an amazing job. Thank you for inviting me on the call tonight.
All right.
All the hats. Man, I thought I was the only one on this airway that had worked longshoreman, and I did most of my work in Louisiana. But anywhere there are ports, you're likely to find some longshore work. And, man, we always, there's a great union, a great body of those dealing with the maritime community and dealing with all the oceanography networks and everything connect to shipping, sailing, boating, shipping, or fishing. Man, we show so much love, Brother Tramiel, and thank you, and God bless you. We don't want to make this the last time, so stay in touch, and I'll leave your mic. If you want to stay by the mic a little while, you may get a chance to come black to the mic, sir. So thank you, and assalamu alaikum, and black power. Black power.
Black power.
So, that's right.
As actually, said, I wanted to chime in a little bit.
Go ahead. You had a question? Go ahead.
Yes, for Brother Tremaine, he actually represents a group of people that have been neglected for a long time. Longshoremen, the extensive work that they do in and around the ports is extreme. And some of the accidents and injuries that they suffer on the job has to be noted. So as we close in our NAACP title for tonight, I want to shift a little bit on the longshoremen. Now, there's a company called the SSA Marine. It's a Carrix enterprise. And the names that I'm going to present are the head of this SSA Marine Corps. And the reason why we're bringing up these names, and anybody who's a listening audience who is a longshoreman may know of particular company. They are the enterprise that really covers not only port areas nationwide, I mean in the Bay Area, but nationwide. So the chief executive officer, the CEO of SSA Marine, is someone named Uffe Östergaard. Uffe Östergaard. So it sounds Swedish as far as I'm concerned. And he, as well as two other executives, John Aldaya, who's a chief financial officer, and a woman named Jamie Neal, who's a senior vice president and treasurer. Now, SSA Marine is supposed to pay out a lot of the injuries, insurances from longshoremen, especially if they suffer through any type of injury. And some of these injuries are lifelong injuries, debilitating injuries. But when these longshoremen apply in general reports submitting their grievances and their injuries, 9 times out of 10, black family, they don't get it at all. This is astronomically wrong. So I'm so grateful that Brother Tremaine came on the line tonight to express the departments that are not getting any type of support. So we want to stand in solidarity with our fellow longshoremen, especially our black hardworking who work the same hours for probably less or half pay that do not get their insurance or do not get compensated for their injuries working the port. It's back to plantation slavery, black family. It hasn't changed. See, chattel slavery has taken on new forms, as we already know, in mass incarceration. But when it comes to the ports and field works such as that, laborers, they are still being treated less than for very little compensation or protection. So I just wanted to shout that out because we will could actually continue this particular segment with the longshoremen, because a lot of people may not know, as our national chairman expressed, that that is a job that not too many people do. And we have to highlight the dangers and the discrimination that is actively happening amongst our beloved longshoremen nationwide. So with that being said, I yield back on that subject. Power to the people.
Power to the people, all power to the people, as we move directly down our phone line, our vast listening and participating audience. We have a 951 coming back to the L.A. area of 951. 464-951-464. You're live on Black Power Radio. Let's see. 951-951 going once. 951-951. A lot of
yo. Here
oh,
I
you ready? Whip us? Come on and talk black to us at 951 at 464. You're live on Black Power Radio.
Hey, this is Double R. This is Reggie Romaine again. I had my phone die, but you picked up my soldier number. But, hey, I concur on everything y'all say. Once again, y'all remember this, though. Go to our site, 1619 Reparations Party. We'll be making a movement. I yield back.
All right. That's right. So that's our Instagram, Black Power, 1619 Reparation Party. If you want to check out what we're currently doing, that's our Instagram. And you can log on to onepercentage.org, where you get some inside information concerning reparations. It is, I tell you, Black family, a hot button topic, and it only has to do with us. So if you are a descendant of chattel slaves, if you haven't started your ancestry or you don't know your ancestry, please chime in with us. We will help you get there. But it is important for us to set the standard of reparations, and this is not a dream, Black family. It is going to happen. So let's all get involved and get them to cut the check. Cut that check.
Black power.
I don't like to close it. Forgot the land. The land, too, now. Cut the
land.
Check and the land.
And the land. Right. That's right. 40 acres and a mule.
Right.
And two mules. Right on.
That's right.
No. That's a Brinks truck. A Brinks truck. You can keep the mule. We want Brinks trucks.
Yes, sir.
Black power.
Yes, sir.
Black power.
Yes, sir.
So now, going downstream, we have an 872 out there. 872-201 at 872-872-201. You're live on Black Power Radio, and you can talk black to us tonight on the NAACP, the current state of Black America. Yes, go ahead. Greetings.
Peace and Black Power, brothers and sisters. It's your sister Switchblade from Chicago.
Switchblade,
how y'all doing tonight? I was hoping that sister girl from NAACP would be on tonight, but I guess we kind of scared her off, huh? That was us being nice. I don't think they're ready for us to really be up in there. When we do come up in their faces, it's not too many of us that's going to be on a professional level. You feel me, brothers and sisters? As we're tired of waiting. Our time is now to shine. Our time is now to stand up and represent what our ancestors died for. Yes?
Black Switchblade out of Chicago. I'm going to set the record straight on that one. That is Sister Patricia Divine Muhammad, and she has teamed up with us to do a lot of work. But she's undergoing a hurricane in Mississippi. But I think she will be back to the airways for your continuity as you go on, Mama.
Yes, thank you for correcting me. We appreciate that. And Black Power to our sister Patricia. We appreciate her giving us an inside scoop of what's really going on. We need more of her like that. That's going to be part
Black
of
power,
the
Black power.
Organizations Black like the Black Caucus. Or the Black Coons, like I say, because they represent everything but the Black people. They are quick to come to our rescue only when it comes to getting in front of the cameras. But as soon as the cameras is gone, the check is gone, they don't care about the family that's left with the pain and ache and suffering and grief. Again, that's where we come in at, to comfort the families. And we do this off the kindness of our heart and not the money in our pocket, because we care about our people. We
are going to continue to fight.
We are warriors in this, and that's one thing they cannot stop is us fighting for what's ours, and we're going to get it regardless of whoever feel what kind of way. Didn't nobody ask you. Stay out of Black folks' business, period. That's how you're going to do that, and that's how it's going to be. And let us set an example and be a blueprint for what our children got to do in the future. I pass the mic and give the floor to the next comrade. Peace and Black Power.
Black Power.
All right.
Switchblade. Black Power. jumping down Halstead, all back on Cottage Grove, and Dan Ryan, O'Hare Fields, middle of the Rumble. Make no mistake about it, Sister Switchblade, coming straight up from the hood, handling her business in education. We love her so much here at Black Power Radio. Got a couple of more comrades out there. Let's see what we got. We got some more. I'm telling you, that's a hot button. And three went away, but we got another 951 in California. You're lit tonight. 951-743. You're actually live on Black Power Radio. You can talk black to us. Black Power? 951.
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power, God
say. Black Power, Black Power. What's
black,
the name, comrade?
Black Power, Black Power. My name is D. My name is D. Dion Cabot D. Yes, sir, Brother D, man. I just want to support what y'all are doing. I got invited on by my brother Double R, and I appreciate what y'all are doing. I just wanted to touch on the subject that y'all are having with that alluded to all of the criminal acts that's been happening in the LGBTQ community. And what I got to say is that there is an agenda that's happening that I believe is not being hidden, it's not being sugarcoated, but there's an agenda that's out there for our children. And I believe that it's unfair to try to pipeline an agenda to our children when our children don't have a choice in the matter. And I believe that we have a say-so in what's being taught to our kids. We have a say-so as well as what's happening to us, because I haven't heard as much about some of these atrocities as I've heard and seen these atrocities happen right in our face, blatantly. And until we actually come together as a people and began to stand up and began to stand out and began to have significant recourse behind that, then we're going to be in the same place that we've been in for the past 400 years. God bless everybody. Black Power.
Black Power.
Like to chime in on that.
Put a black military to block that call. Yeah, go right ahead. We're coming to you. 252, just hold your britches for a minute at 252, and our National Minister of Defense, Brother Black Lightning, has something on the issue or to chime in with our comrade out of California. Black Power, Black Power.
Power to the people.
Black Power.
Floor's yours.
Oh, floor now? Okay. Biblically, it says, who are my brothers and sisters? I say, well, your brothers and sisters are those that do the will of the Father. You know? So it may be an agenda, but we fight for ours, you know. We do. We are the front line, the only line of support for ours. And as far as guidance, we are the only. Well, the father is supposed to be the guider of the family and the guider of the sons in particular. You know, so they don't. I think that those people, they sacrifice their family for fame and fortune, so that they didn't have to. It's like give them no guidance, just throw them to the wolves, and now here they are out here in ladies' dresses, whereas the white militias. Got their kids learning how to shoot at young ages, and I saw a thing where the Chinese kid, a little Chinese, damn near 4 or 5 years old, taking Glocks apart, taking them apart and putting them back together. That's what we're supposed to be teaching our kids, how to be real soldiers, real deals, real. Like the father from Good Times, you know, when he approached the drug dealers and told and the gangs and told them stay away from my son, you know, or we gonna have a problem, you know what I mean? So, and it's like we don't have the stand up
that stand up backbone spread enough, you know, because fathers being taken away by the 13th Amendment, for one, being taken away by the 13th Amendment and being made slaves to this to the system, you know, for stuff that's basically been made legal now on some parts, on some things. But I'm just saying they didn't have the family the man in the family to show the boys how to pull their pants up and show them that you can't do a roundhouse with your pants down like that. You know what I'm saying? For those that know, and to be a real stand up man, and look you in the eye when you talk to you. You know what I mean? And speak up. So ain't nobody got to wonder what you said. You know what I mean? And be about what you mean, and be about what you say, and be what you mean, and go from the heart. Somebody taught me that a long time ago. Go from the heart. Oh gosh, when you go from the heart, that's better than going from the brain. You know, going from the heart is like when mama involved, when sister involved, daddy involved, uncle involved. Close comrades are involved. Oh, and as far as the close comrades, I do want to say that it's like family, and it's like looking at everybody and being like, wow, I'm proud of my family. You know what I mean? So you know, and I hope the family is proud of us for doing what we do, and don't worry about the accolades. We do it for the people. God is the rewarder. Black power.
Amen.
Right.
Black power.
Black power. Very well said. Thank you, comrade.
Black power.
So we want to share with you one special update with the NAACP. But before we do so, we want to thank you for joining us every Sunday and Monday right here on Black Power Radio, where we share and give you the most informative news anywhere else. So if you want to support the movement, you can cash out 77 Bakers. That's $77Bakers. B-A-K-E-R-S. Baker's man is baking a cake of justice as fast as he can. So let's support the movement and continue to be persistent. We thank you again for being on this broadcast. Now, Black family, in the last hour, we're going to focus on some current events. We're going to circle back to South Carolina and North Carolina. But just before we do that, any last-minute comments can actually chime in.
Yes, Dr. Coop, we've neglected one soldier. When we went to Black Lightning, the National Minister of Defense, we neglected a 252 call. Is that okay with you? There's a 252.
Oh, yes. Bring him on.
Okay, let's try it. 252 at 431. At 252, 431, you're actually live on Black Power Radio. And you can actually talk black to us. Black Power at 252.
Black Power.
Black Power. It may be muted out. Black Power at 252-431. Are you there? 252 going once, 252 going twice, 252-431. You're actually gone. So anyone out in the audience who wishes to participate or speak up, please press 1. Any of the brothers that are in the audience, in our vast listening audience, please press 1 if you desire to speak as we turn these airways black into the hands, the very capable hands, of our National Minister of Justice, the Honorable Dr. Race Truth Bay. Black Power.
Black Power. Now, Black family, Wells Fargo, one of the most reputable banks that actually own slaves like J.P. Morgan Chase, has put out an announcement last month. Now, I don't know if we missed it, but it went under the radar. So we're going to bring you the actual press release from Wells Fargo that announced $50 million grant to the very NAACP in San Francisco that denied the reparations amount for San Francisco themselves. So this was back in February, first week of February 2023. San Francisco. Today, Wells Fargo announced a $50 million grant to support the nation's largest civil rights and social justice organization and its continued efforts to advance racial equality in America. This is the opening line of the actual press release by Wells Fargo. Let's continue. Wells Fargo grant will both strengthen the NAACP's local units and support the organization's plans to develop a new national headquarters. Did you hear what I said, Black family? Oh, they didn't say they're building a black school. They didn't say they're building a black hospital. No, they sure didn't. Mm-mm. They said they're actually given that $50 million grant to build a headquarters. Let's continue. The grant will assist NAACP local units and branches across America by increasing essential staff to implement and sustain meaningful programming and will support their work to grow strategic partnerships with key businesses and communities across the country. In addition, at the national level, the grant will support the NAACP's work on policy solutions used to address the needs of communities it serves. And we're not going to read the whole press conference, but I'm just going to give you most of the tidbits. Wells Fargo CEO Charlie Scharf, keep that in mind, Charlie Scharf, said the company is pleased to support the NAACP in creating a more equitable nation and providing better access to economic opportunities for Black Americans. That's right, Black family. I'm going to read that sentence one more time. It says that the CEO, Charlie Scharf, said the company is pleased to support the NAACP in creating more equitable nation and providing better access to economic opportunities for Black Americans. This is last month, Black family. So if we have carefully unraveled the fact that NAACP does not cater to Black issues, then why is Wells Fargo giving the biggest donation, and this is in their own words, to one of the most reputable civil rights organizations? Do you see why the confusion comes in, Black family? That's why our chief of staff specifically stated it's a bunch of bull in its entirety. Either you're for Black struggles or you're not. You can't, on one hand, garnish our Black power votes, even though it's not like a voting election, but they garnish the Black support, the Black donations. But you don't turn around and support issues when it happens in your neighborhood, NAACP. So we got to clear that up.
Black power.
So as we continue, the press conference, it says, press release says, key to our shared goal to advance equity and economic opportunities again for Black Americans. Again, they didn't say colored folks. They said Black Americans. In the work that the NAACP local units and branches do to support communities on highly local basis, Scharf says. This is the CEO, Charlie Scharf. If anybody happens to get a hold of Charlie, can you let Chuck know that the $50 million is not going to anything Black? Maybe he does know, but this press release tells us differently. In conclusion, the relationship between the NAACP and Wells Fargo spans more than 20 years. Since 1998, Wells Fargo's support of NAACP had including the funding of Financial Freedom Center, financial health programs, and home ownership preservation programs. Now, I can tell you for a fact that the home ownership programs, at least with homelessness here in California, which is number two behind New York, that a lot of Black families are still homeless. a lot of black families are still denied loans to buy a new home. And Wells Fargo knows that all too well because those are the branches that deny these black families housing equity. But we digress. So on the bottom, it states about the NAACP. So Wells Fargo wants to tell us what their version of the NAACP is. And they state, the NAACP advocates, agitates, and litigates for the civil rights due to black America. There's that word again, family. They certainly didn't say colored America. Wells Fargo said black America. Our legacy is built on the foundation of grassroots activism by the biggest civil rights pioneers of the 20th century and sustained by 21st century activists. From classrooms and courtrooms to city halls and Congress, our network and members across the country works to secure the social and political power that will end race-based discrimination for black Americans. That work is rooted in racial equality, civic engagement, and supportive policies and institutions for all marginalized people. We are committed to a world without racism, where black people, kid you not, they were using that word black a lot in this press conference, press release. They say they want a world without racism where black people enjoy equitable opportunities and thriving communities. And so Jonah Bryson is a representative of the NAACP that put this garbage out. And if you want to contact Mr. Bryson, it's Jay Bryson at NAACPnet.org. So it's J-B-R-Y-S-O-N, Bryson, at NAACPnet.org. And the media council representative for this press conference is Carolyn White. Carolyn White. God, they have a sense of humor. So Carolyn White from Wells Fargo is the one that put this press release out. So what say you, black family? I want to hear from you. What do you think about this press release stating that they're honoring the NAACP with $50 million for a new headquarters? Power to the people.
Power to the people. We have known for quite some time that Wells Fargo is scandalous. We just didn't know until this recent reading of this particular press release, et cetera, how scandalous Wells Fargo is. And they'll get in cahoots with the NAACP to get the headquarters, but not get in cahoots with you, the borrowers, to, again, extend a loan for your home, your car. Wells Fargo is known for giving us a hard time. They're right down in the hood. And some of the most scandalous practice ever in any banking institution in America is, again, Wells Fargo. I did bank processing for years and years. Bank America, First America, Last America, Allied Banks of America, Texas Commerce Banks of America, and on the list goes on and on. Ran their computer systems, you know, a lot about credits and debits and all that you want to know about commercial loans and all that. Sheikh Ali Mamakbar ran computer system, tech support, every field of endeavor. They say I ran the tech support for the first bank transaction in America done by a bank using a plastic card, placing it into a black box, and actually doing a money transaction to withdraw, deposit, or et cetera, to money, pay a bill. They said that America is a cash and carry society. What you're doing is wasting your time. This plastic card will never catch on, and on and on and on. Cash and carry Americans. Oh, but look at them down there with that NAACP. And I just, you know, cannot say enough about Wells Fargo in the negative. So that's their way up, back to visibility in the black community. They spread their banks throughout the black community, and I've even gone down to in front of the Wells Fargo and invited people to go into the industrial bank, which is right up the way from the Wells Fargo bank, and they would push me aside. They walked over me and ran.
That's right.
For cover.
Trampled
running into Wells Fargo. There are too many Wells Fargo banks in the black neighborhood. But there you go. You will not invest, as Dr. King told you, to take your money out of Wells Fargo. Take your money
you
out
go.
Of Bank of America. Take it out of PNC Bank. Take it out of the TCB Bank, the RNG, the ING, the LinkedIn linked out bank. They said to get the hell out of there and hurry to an investment in your own bank and manage your own wealth. I just don't know what the hell is wrong with us. But as you can see, the NAACP trusts them some Wells Fargo. Wells Fargo trusts the NAACP. So let's watch how this unleashes the real phase of economics in America. As I pass the mic, to anybody coming in here that's not out of sight by midnight, you can rock the mic here at Black Power Radio. And we just had a 518 coming. I don't know if they have an opinion or if they wanted to speak before I go to the rest of the hosts here tonight on Black Power Radio. We're going to allow 518 to have an open mic. 518-224. You're actually live on
Black Power.
Black Power. Welcome. You're happy to have you talk Black to us.
This is a concerned black citizen. This is.
Welcome, sir.
Excuse me. This is a concerned black citizen. My name is Karan.
What city are you calling out of, sir? What city are you in?
My name is Karan Sutton. I'm calling from New York City.
Welcome. This is our national field marshal in New York. Some call it New York. Some call it Brooklyn. Some call it Brooklyn. But welcome to Black Power Radio, and we're so happy to have you and hear from you tonight. Black Power.
I'm chiming in a little earlier. I mean, I'm chiming in a little late. I'm kind of, you know, I wanted to know what's the full topic. I heard banking. I heard racism. And that sounds familiar. So, yeah, this sounds like a good topic to touch on the poverty that we have.
Brother Karan, the topic earlier was the NAACP and the current state of Black America with the three Ks. What is the most productive or most influential thing that is in our midst as Black people at this hour? What are you recommending for us to do to gain our very best utility from the best of our resources? And again, it's gone into the Wells Fargo Bank has loaned the NAACP the money for headquarters, and I think you can pick up from there any further questions, but we can get your statement and your take on the NAACP, our current state of affairs, and the relationship with the Wells Fargo Bank, sir. Take it away. Black Power.
Thank you. The current state our people, Black Power, the current state of our people is based on poverty, and the NAACP has really been a shadow, not really visible, like a ghost for black people. Like most things built by white people or pilgrims, I apologize, most things built by pilgrims that we have been embracing have mostly just been shadows to keep us happy and keep us, you know, satisfied. So those things, it's like a game they've been playing on us for the last however long the NAACP has been in existence. Maybe now they have different motives and objectives. We just have to wait and see. And I think the current state of Black America is poor, piss poor, homeless in the shelters, riding the train, living on the train. Yeah, so pretty bad out here. Black Power.
All right. Black Power.
Yes, sir. We thank Brother Karan, our National Field Marshal, right there in Brooklyn, New York. Some call it Brooklyn, New York, but nevertheless, he's still here on Black Power Radio, and we're so damn glad that you tuned in, because you could have went to the bar mitzvah. I think they got a tennis tournament down the way. I think a golf tournament's on the other side of town. But nevertheless, with the soccer moms and all soccer practice and everything that's going on, you made it on in here to Black Power Radio, and we're so damn glad that you did. So we got open mic now for any of you that are out there in our vast listening audience that happen to have an open mic. We can let you go for it for the next until you can shop and drop it like it's hot until it's, you know, until it's not. So open mic, and y'all can take it from the top. Black Power.
Black Power. You definitely want to hear from our comrades. All right.
Well, it goes back to the bank, as soon as you mentioned the bank, that goes right back to 1905 again. The Carnegie Foundation. So that I think they always been in bed with the Carnegies, you know. Where else would they get their money from? They're going to keep on getting their money from J.P. Morgan. So whatever kind of deal they got with them, maybe it's to railroad the movement. I'll give you a good example. When we were down in front of the White House, I noticed that the Black Lives Matter people were inching closer and closer to where we were. And we were trying to put out some valid points. And they were pretty much just screaming what they wanted to scream, you know, like, what's his name, this and that. But they were getting closer and closer and closer. So I thought, well, maybe they want to merge the two. So I commandeered their megaphone, and I merged the two for a minute, you know, because it was no sense in one saying one thing and one saying the other thing, when all the people on one accord. But I did notice that when I commandeered the microphone, it was a flaming drag queen, you know what I mean? And not even black, white, you know? So it was like, I was sizing the situation up as it was happening, but I wasn't really thinking about it. I was just thinking, well, if I'm saying one thing and they saying something different, I'm going to have to go change it so we're all together some kind of way. But I'm just saying when that's sidetracking the movement, you know, one way or the other, whether it be sidetracking it and take it one way, I could have took it a different way, you know, took it a semi-diplomatic way, a bold move at that. Wasn't even thinking about it. It's just like, you know, some people are just born to do what they do. Black Power. I'm a flip the switch, and don't forget, was it $77 Bakers? Because we be needing some lean green in that gasoline machine sometime, you know. And not only that, I keep stressing, put on there #, the big black bus for us. Because we get the bus, we paint it black. Don't have to be black. It can be yellow. So it's like you went from riding on the short bus to driving it. Wow. Just joking on that last part. Black Power, y'all.
That's right.
Oh, okay. There y'all are. So don't forget, 1905. Check those numbers, 1905. We did our thing. They did their thing. It happened to be at the same location, and I'm not taking that as a coincidence. And when I heard that was Niagara, when I heard Niagara Falls, I'm like, whoa, hold up. Wait a minute. I said, let's put some J.P. Morgan in it, you know, because he give you $1 million like it's dropping a bucket. And frickin' frack, you know, frick with the oil, and they had the iron and everything. Of course, they needed black help, you know.
because them white boys wasn't playing. They had unions. You know, they had unions. So where they want to get, so black then, they didn't have the Mexicans, the Hispanic people to say, okay, we got some cheap labor over here. No, they had us. They want to pay us, you know, pay some cash, get some cash jobs going. I don't know what the deal was except for leading us astray, making it look like it's for us when it ain't for us, you know? Mm-hmm. Look like it's for us, but it ain't for us. It's for colored folks. Wow. And here it is. We bamboozled so long, black folks started calling themselves colored for a little while there. Well, we was never colored, you know? Black power.
Black power. Black power. And so, as we clarify exactly what the message is for NAACP, we see the mixed messaging when it comes to what they want to represent. And this is why I tell us, black families, they can only tell us what we allow them to tell us. We can only react and act upon what we allow them to do to us. So when we are armed with the information correctly on what the NAACP really represents, it is our due diligence to consistently spread the correct information so that way they don't continue to perpetuate our black struggle for their blackface profit. And that's really the end of it. We also have a special guest, Lucretia Brandon, who's one of our outreach coordinators in the San Francisco area, Bay Area. And if you'd like to chime in, Queen Lucretia, on your take on what you have observed concerning the NAACP and the advocacy for black people.
And hi, good evening, everybody. So, yes, I was expressing that, you know, with the NAACP, it's kind of, it's hard to tell what, you know, you learn in. Everybody has so many things. People are hiding different things, or they're being secretive about different things. And it's kind of hard to know who you can trust. You know, hearing the things about reparation with NAACP, it kind of leaves me stuck, like, wow, is this really true? But again, just learning and listening and studying to see what's really correct is, you know, it's kind of frustrating. It's kind of frustrating to see all the hard work everyone's putting in and then to have someone that's supposed to be with us against us and make it things harder. So
right.
Pray and God's will that, you know, it all turned out great and helpful for everybody that's putting in the hard work.
That's right. And transparency. So recently the $50 million for the specific, it says San Francisco headquarters, but I'm wondering if they're going to divvy it up against its national representative. But what we would like to know concerning the reparations hearing coming up on Wednesday and Thursday, the 29th and the 30th of this month, Reverend Amos Brown should be sitting in his capacity as vice chair. And so we would like to ask specifically Reverend Brown, Where is your plan for the public to know where this $50 million that you received from Wells Fargo going to go? Are you going to assist now the denials of hundreds and hundreds of home loans that black families have given? Or are you going to assist in that? Because I believe that would be a great asset if they do so. But we all know what that means when they say they're going to build their headquarters. It's going to pay themselves first, make sure that they get a bag, that their nonprofits, I'm sure each of them have their own little hustle on the side, that they will have stacks for them, their purpose, and then whatever's left, they'll have some sort of lottery of some sort of who they want to help and what cases that they take. I think black family, enough knowing this information, we should be able to step in forth and be public about the denial of this $50 million to a headquarters. We want them to do what Amos Brown did to the board of supervisors. He said, no, 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 no. No, we don't want the $5 million cash payment to San Franciscan. We want to have that in the community. And so that's where we are. Do we want it in the community? It's up to you. Do we stay complacent? It's up to you. But we must move forth and have them being held accountable. And so with that being said, we want to get a quick break. If there's anyone in the roundtable that does have an opinion on their thoughts or concerns concerning the NAACP or anything black, for that matter, the floor
yes,
is yours.
Yes, I do.
Black Power.
The NAACP, the NAACP is not five people. Point blank, period. Black Power.
Black Power. Can you elaborate on that? It's not five people. Microphone drop. Yes, sir. Now give us a little explanation on that, brother.
Violation of civil rights situations, as we've seen here in Roxburgh. The first people on the scene should have been somebody from the NAACP. The first people that should have been at their police department the next day should have been a member of the NAACP. None of those things happened. They haven't reached out to Brother John at all. It speaks for itself. They don't care. I mean, they have hidden agendas that they trying to you know, they basically a group of people with personal agendas. And if you're not supporting that personal agenda, they don't care. Black Power.
That's right.
That's what that lady
and
said
that's
last
all
night. It's her own personal agenda.
Black Power.
That's right, Black Power.
Let's call it.
So at this moment, let me just play one of our favorite poetess. Her name is Tamika Hodges, always spitting that fire, based on a black struggle. That's how.
Let's call a spade a spade. Let's call a pitchfork. Let's just say we know what a posse look like, what a mob can do. We know about chasing ghosts. We know about finding ourselves in dark rooms. We know about safety and numbers. Let's admit that the town people ain't never been afraid of the giant, that the body has always been bigger than the head, that the power has always been with, of, and for the people. So let's just tell the truth. Let's just be honest. Let's talk back. Let's march to infirmary. Let's outline some points, and let us speak of police who will step over our sleeping children to shoot their fathers and ask why they woke and ask why we have guns. We cannot forget how whales sound escaping from a siren or a boy. Let us call little Bobby's name. Let's call little Bobby's mama. Let's put her on the phone with Wanda Johnson or Sabrina Fulton. Let's talk about how easy it is to choke, how America's gravest mass shooting is durational, collective. Let's say wounded knee and never again. Let's say move on HQ and never again. Let's say it in the same breath as Flint, in the same waters everywhere we have been drowned. Let's say America and mean necessarily the trail we wept to get here, the choppy ocean that fought to kill us. Let's say Los Angeles and Philadelphia and Accra and mean the parts of the world who knew revolution as we did, black and impoverished. And just coming back from a war like always, say, let's talk about money, as if the first U.S. bailout wasn't stocked in the hull of a slave ship. Oh, but we ain't supposed to talk about that. We ain't supposed to talk about cotton. We ain't supposed to talk about that gin. We ain't supposed to talk about Jim Crow. We're supposed to be post. We ain't supposed to ask for what's owed. We're supposed to be thankful to a tyrant. We're supposed to kowtow. We're supposed to back down. We're supposed to not talk about our ache or what we've missed or how we ain't never had a language or a flag or even a proper family reunion. We are never going to know the names of the people who died for us to live in terror. Let us admit that the idea of Africa is still an offense punishable by death. We are not to dream of going home, not to speak of what has been stolen, not to feed our children, not even to let our hair take flight. We ain't supposed to do anything but die. Not nothing. We supposed to die. We supposed to not even know we supposed to die. We supposed to not speak that we know we're supposed to die. We're supposed to watch our sisters rub crack chalk on their eyes. We're supposed to sit and eat stale crust and look on from the outside. What kind of party is that? Let's start our own. We're supposed to sit here and wait till somebody let us? Let us stop waiting on freedom like it's a whooping cough. Stop hoping freedom is going to court us on a Thursday date night. Quit crossing our legs and biting our time and biting our nails. It's our birthright, and they will lie to us and tell us we are violent for wanting peace. Peace is our dowry. We wed to a democracy that keeps taking off its ring. We married to a decadent system that mocks squalor and honor. We saw what they do to our leaders. We see how they're trying to string us up. There are bodies on the asphalt. There are members in holding. There are lines drawn all around us, and they close in tight. There's a courthouse. There's a free breakfast. There's Emory Sims. There are Tavika's fingers, Sonya's poems, and Bobby's plans in kitchen. There are instruments of light and joy. There are folks waiting on orders. There are children in the hallway singing songs about our mothers.
I love them.
People in their black leather. There are teenagers sneaking into our meetings. There are old folks who are both afraid and resentful. They didn't do this first, but some did. Some dusted off their pistols and got right here. Right here on Grover MLK. Right here on Pitt Street. Right here on Brooklyn. Come on, you guys. Come on, you guys.
Someone speaking on the South Carolina, you want me to speak on South Carolina?
Yeah, so I could do an opener concerning what is transpiring in South Carolina.
We have at least three major cases that we have investigated in South Carolina. It started with the Keisha Tate case. Keisha Lucille Tate was executed in front of her children. She is the mother of 10, and one died from the spike or the jab or the stab. And her 9 children, she was preparing a meal, and there was a neighbor named Nicholas Lucas. why don't you make it Nicholas Scholar Lucas claimed to have been target practicing in his yard. And a bullet ricocheted from the target, striking Mrs. Keisha Tate, Keisha Lucia Tate, and killing her dead on the spot. And after the Panthers got involved, other black activists got involved and got a real investigation going in Gaffney, South Carolina. We found that the bullet had come directly from the gun of Nicholas Scholar Lucas killing Miss Keisha Lucille Tate, and therefore the charges were moved up from a manslaughter, indirect hit, to a murder charge with a direct hit. Instead of him having some kind of bond, he had no bond for, I feel like, several months. They have recently given Miss Crocker a bond, and that's South Carolina law. They promise you, promise you. And they're all moving for an escape from due process when it comes to a black person being murdered in the state of South Carolina. It's damn near impossible to get any form of justice, especially when a white man is the executioner, and some call it the executioner of our people. So he is now resting in the Spartanburg County Jail. The Spartanburg County Jail has produced there are about 20 body bags in a record time of killing black people, we the people, and there's a wooden tooth beer bellied sheriff over there named Chuck Wrongright, or Chuck Wright, some call him Chuck Wright, but we call him Wrongright because we say wrong comes before right with this guy, and we've just been sick and tired of being sick and tired of him him and his deviant behavior, and we got a name out of him on one of his officers killing our comrade and brother Lavelle Lane from Brooklyn, was killed in the Spartanburg County Jail, and they call it detention center, but it's a jail for real, and he was there on the side of the road, and he was brought into custody. Lavelle Lane is a mental health patient out from the Midway mental health facility, or it is group home style. They actually live in the facility, and he should have been taken to that facility. Nevertheless, they saw fit to bring him into custody for walking down the road. And as that happened, he was there for 5 hours, and he was pronounced dead. Since then, they have barely and rarely given any information to the Lane Reese family, and it's got us upset across the nation over the Lavelle Lane case. While we were investigating the Lavelle Lane case, Darius Shabazz L.J. Holcomb was killed in his home as he barricaded himself in. An unarmed black man was killed because they say he assaulted a dog. An officer dog, or officer or deputy dog, was not injured or anywhere maimed or ever taken to a veterinarian. But they killed our man, and they showed more sensitivity for the dog than a human being, a black man by the name of Darius Shabazz L.J. Holcomb. And we take exception with this. We have land acquisition in South Carolina, and we are challenging the state. We're asking for the state. We're doing a lot of things there in South Carolina, as well as North Carolina, where our Chairman John was struck in the eye in Roxborough. So we have two townships that we're challenging. Person County, we have Roxborough, North Carolina, and in Gaffney and Spartanburg, South Carolina, we have issues of criminal activity that has not been checked by the county or the city or anyone with any form of justice having power. Township of Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I land my plane there. And you can take any questions or comments from you. Call We the People. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Thank you for the update.
All right.
One of the main keys, March 20th, was the Spartanburg County Council meeting, in which the Lane Reese family, as well as the Panthers, the Sheikh Imam, under National Chairman Sheikh Imam Akbar, arrived there to speak on the current lack of transparency, lack of communication, and certainly the lack of policy identification process that their sheriff has to do. And at the end of that meeting, one of the last people in that county council, which was District 1, his name is Monier Abusa. Now, Monier Abusa, who actually is or was a former president, I believe, of the NAACP in his area of South Carolina, decided to engage and answer questions to the best of his ability. Now, one of the people that were there also was a reporter from the Gaffney Ledger named Abby Sosaman. Now, I want you to look up this name, Abby Sosaman, A-B-B-I-E, Sosaman, S-O-S-S-A-M-O-N. Now, she has been one of the most celebrated reporters from the Gaffney Ledger. This is a local paper that is located in Gaffney, South Carolina. Now, what I find to be very strange is that on the 22nd, to be exact, 2 days after the city council meeting, there is a front page article covering Mr. Monier Abusa. Now, this front page story basically was talking about the cases, because Abusa is actually an attorney as his day job. So he has jury court cases. And this particular case next to a Judge Cole, Judge Cole stated that Abusa was such a nuisance in the courtroom and they started describing how he was, his behavior was disruptive to the point where the people he was advocating for had to ask for mercy from the court, and he may not know any better, blah, blah, blah. To make a long story short, Black family, I find it very strange. That's why you need to look at your surroundings. Just get a recollection of the people that you're surrounding, especially in these city council settings. Watch and see and observe who is in control, who is in what department. Now, Abby Sossaman, as we mentioned, was the reporter that was also at the Spartanburg County Council observing the engagement that Mr. Monier Abusov decided to give to the Lane Reed family, as well as our national chairman. He was asking questions, and he was answering it to the best of his ability, to the point where they actually almost shut the lights off in the council because he was talking to the family at length. All the other councilmen, including David Britt and Manning Lynch, who's the head of the council, they all disappeared. They left as soon as the council meeting was over. But Monier Abusov remained, engaged with the family, and that was taken notice. Now, the reason why we're bringing this up, Black family, is because you have to know the tactic of white supremacy. When they want to make sure that Black families are not advocated for, the key person that can do that, they want to discredit them. So this full front page, almost a page and a half, that this Abby Sossaman, and I hope you're listening, Miss Abby, because what you're trying to do is not going to work. So you see, if there is someone that cares about advocating for the Black families in their district, they are also a target. That's why many of the Black faces that represent the politics, whether they're an assembly person, a mayor, a senator, a councilman, a county board, a supervisor, they usually got to fall in line and go with the okey-doke of their fellow white supremacist counterparts. But the one or two that have the bravery, that have the cojones, as they say, to stand up against the establishment and support and really try to advocate for the family, especially when it comes to discriminatory abuse, that person is targeted. So I want to give a special shout out to District 1 Monier Abusov, because this brother, actually who is the only Black person that's on this county council, took the time to answer questions to the family in which that was frowned upon. So what Gaffney, South Carolina, tried to do was to discredit this man in a previous case talking about his behavior or character. And if you want to know the whole link, you can actually read it for next week's Power Radio. But I want you to look up the Gaffney Ledger. The article is dated March 22nd. It was advocated on March 24th. And it's had a full front page on Mr. Abusov. So we stand with you, Mr. Monier. We want to let you know that we thank you for taking the time to speak to the family, at least to the best of your ability, despite your counter-white supremacist cohorts tried to stop you to do. So we're going to not acknowledge this story that the Gaffney Ledger, Abby Sossaman, tried to do to slander this Black man. It's not going to work. So let's be on our toes, Black family, as we continue to seek justice for Lavelle Lane and requesting that the governor of South Carolina, Henry D. McMaster, and the federal government to intervene as far as seeking closure for not only the videotape in which the murder of our beloved Lavelle Lane has occurred, still has not been produced. This is almost day 183 or 4. I don't know if Queen Mother's on the line can correct that. But as we see, it's more than 20 days, as the Tyre Nichols case can show, to produce police video cam of any brutality against a black man or a black woman. So I wanted to clarify and put that out there to let them know that we are very vigilant and we are aware of the tactics of our counterparts. And so as we move along to seek justice for this family, we want you to keep abreast on what's happening with Spartanburg in South Carolina and for our brother in North Carolina, who also we are seeking answers concerning police brutality. Videotape is very important, and we must seek answers and due diligence in order to find closure. Last but not least, we also want to highlight HB 1020 in Mississippi. We had discussed this a couple of weeks ago concerning the bill that they have to create an all-white jury, specifically for their white counterparts in this area. And so the House of Representatives in Mississippi passed this bill, and now it has to go to the Senate. So we'll keep you up to date as to the results of this very discriminatory bill disguised as a Jim Crow law in a new way to suppress the black constituents of Jackson, Mississippi. So justice is still a long way for us to fight for black families, and we must be consistent in winning the fight. Are you back? Black power.
Black power.
Black power. Any comments on South Carolina? Yes, you can definitely comment on South Carolina, North Carolina, and all the above. Bye-bye. With love. Meaning black love is the greatest gift you can give. And it's a gift that keeps giving, mama. Brother Maurice, you're still out there. And Brother Black Lightning, I know you're there. And y'all
yes, sir.
Black Power.
Everybody bum rushing Mike at once now. Black Power. Let's talk black to them on these cases. In your region, buddy.
Are you talking to Black Lightning?
Oh, I'm good. What's
all
on
right.
your mind?
Well, comrades, you do. Do you want to say?
Well, I just say I'm proud of everybody, that's all. My extended
all right.
family. It's a lot like if I, we all got, we got what it takes to make our mamas proud. Let's put it like that. Make daddy proud too, you know? So, Black Power.
Black Power, right on, right on. And so we'd like for you to join us next week as we give the update of the Sacramento reparations hearing that will be occurring on March 29th and March 30th in Sacramento. This is a 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. hearing, and it is the third to last hearing, which will be ending June 30th. So California Task Force Reparations hearing is a reflective part of a national movement. So if you're in another town or city and you haven't started or seen or heard or participated in your local council that is doing reparations, mainly because they may not have one, then we need for you, Black family, to start the charge on that. After June 30th, we will give you the direct results of what the findings and results will be for California reparations. But we're not just sticking with California. It is a federal matter. So please stay abreast on reparations, on what it's about. And if you have not traced your DNA, again, we will help you to do that. But you must start with the first step. Chattel slavery has affected all persons of African descent born on this soil, because the tactics are still alive and well. When we see in education, in hospitals, in the workplace, in housing, these disparities are alive and well. And so we must continue to combat. So with that being said, I do thank you again, Black family, for joining us on Black Power Radio. As we come to a close, please join us every Sunday and Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and where we bring you the most informative news from around the globe right here in this seat. And if you'd like to support this movement, 77 Bakers is our main cash app. So donate and finance the movement that's bringing you this information. That is 77 Bakers. So I am Truth Bay signing out, and we thank you again for joining us on Black Power Radio as we pass on the mic to our beloved host, Sheikh Imam Akbar, for our closing prayer.
And thank you so much, Dr. Truth Bay, and all of you who have participated tonight with all of the great input on the NAACP issue and current state of Black America, the updates around the country, and many, many around the world. We still have our African chapters that are growing in Africa. We're happy to be here in America, growing in Mississippi, growing again in Tennessee and all parts of California, as you can see, up and down New York. Some call it New York. And we're still here in Washington, D.C., rocking the mic at Black Power Radio, the most informative radio talk show on the Internet, anywhere on 196,940,000 square miles. And you could have went on to that golf match, could have made some tennis tournaments tonight. Oh, you could have went to soccer mom practice. But you know what? You came on in here to Black Power Radio anyhow, and we're so damn glad that you did. And we hope that you'll be black with us next week at 8 p.m. on Sunday, 8 p.m. on Monday. You dial into Our Radio Show at 515-605-9889. Again, our call number is 515-605-9889. And you too will be live on Black Power Radio. We thank you for coming tonight. We'll give us a short word of, in the name of God, the most beneficent, the most merciful benefactor, the most merciful redeemer. All praise is due to the Almighty God, the guardian, the evolver, the cherisher, and the sustainer of all of the worlds. We hope the Almighty God will continue to guide and bless you, keep you and your crew. And we know with all that we have said and all that could be said, we know our beloved brother Marvin Gaye has said it best. Thank you.
us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we don't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
control our destiny. We owe it to ourselves to live happy eternally.
do.
And we're going to continue the process of claiming our identity and setting the standards for our people of color. We'll not be controlled by the old slave master and its covert racism. No other race of people, no Jews, no Indian, no Chinese, let an outside invader control their community in a way that is harmful and poison our people and incorporate bias, prejudice, and bigotry in the standards and racial profiling and willfulness to terrorize our community and do psychological damage to our children every day and destroy our culture with their commercials and their exploitation of their TV programs. They facilitate tyranny. They have developed the standards of what they call terrorist actions. And so if you don't develop an economic program and promote it, if you don't organize your race with a political program and promote it, and if you don't get the conscious level to understand this hostile enemy is not turning back, and you try to promote racial harmony, you're out of your damn mind. You're out of your damn mind. You can't even do it on Sunday when everybody's supposed to be praying. It is time for an African revolution. It is time for an African revolution. Any people with dignity and respect would have a revolution of economics. The fundamental purpose of revolution means complete constructive change. We need complete constructive change. We are not just Africans in America, we are Pan-Africanism. Pan-Africanism means you understand that right across the water, nationwide, this world is full of people who look like you, from Brazil to Jamaica to Haiti, to all of the Caribbean islands and the 54 nations of Africa and Hawaii and everywhere you look, you are. But you have not developed the technique to see yourself because you don't want to talk revolution. Because you don't want change within the solution. You want to concept with your soft heart, or can we all get along? You still listening to Rodney King. No, you can't have a commitment to develop your enemy army against you. Your enemy police department against you. Your enemy courtrooms against you. That's not an effective revolution. Your children must be trained leadership from birth to control their own, to achieve their own goals, to understand nationhood and a higher ideal of what nationhood is from their own standards that you're committed to develop. We're a dynamic people, but we have helped every race of people, self ourselves. Right now, if you walk out your damn house, you're going to get some gas from a foreigner gas station. You're going to buy some Chinese food from a Chinese. You're going to take your cleaning, which you've been washing white folk people clothes all your life, to another race of people to wash your clothes who don't live in your community and don't love your children. And you're going to help improve their children's lifestyle. We got children graduating right now from all the colleges and institutions around this country and come back and have to work at Walmart because we ain't developed the corporations. We ain't opened these old buildings up. We studied been trying to buy a damn Ferrari, Porsche, and a Rolls Royce, a big house, and our kids come back from college like Carter D. Woodson put in the miseducation of the Negro with nowhere to go but to a white man to ask him for a job, which means that damn degree and that education don't mean nothing because that white man is going to hire his daughter, his nephew, his son, and after that he's going to hire his people. Ain't nothing all right until black men and black women, Africans, participate responsibly in doing something for self. And if you're going to start talking economics, you got to talk about building a group to defend it. It ain't a white man to build a bank and don't have a guard at the door. It ain't a white man to build a mansion and don't put cameras on it first. It ain't a white man to build a nation and don't develop a defensive mechanism to keep people from taking what you build. Stop being scared of building a black army that could protect your community. And in, when it's time for self-defense, carry out their duties in self-defense with the logic of saving their mother, father, sister, cousin, auntie, and their community. We need to be baptized in economics, baptized in culture, baptized in a new political mindset with the logic of doing for self. You better act as the Jewish race and be aware of who you are and constitute and build a constitution and develop a mindset that you don't need your enemy for you to reach your goal. The COINTELPRO said their job was to neutralize the rise of a black messiah and to neutralize black organizations from organizing and participating and working together. The injustice the FBI did along give me the right to get on this phone tonight and teach respect to this group of people that have been so beat up, so lynched, so murdered, so raped. The determination for us not to fall any deeper into a coma is a blessing. And this is a period and a time where we don't have to take back door, apologize to nobody for our focus. You better get on the advanced liberation team and develop the mindset of self-help and start identifying yourself as an African and understand clearly that's all you need. And when you get to this crossroad, don't go right, don't go left, go straight. You got the right after all the hell you done took for 450 years to organize and discover the power in yourself. You are an empire in an empire.
Love your brother, love your mother, love your brother, love your God.